This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week here in the studio is Nick Lamone, sitting right next to me right here.
Hi, everybody.
It's not an optical illusion. We're taking up the same meat space together right now. Also joining us is Sam Claiborne.
Hey, everybody. The studio looks awesome. I love the colors you guys got going there.
Yeah, it looks okay right now. I like it. And Justin Davis is here as well.
Scoop.
And we got a great show for you this week. We'll talk about E3's, what's the latest, what's going on with E3's attempt to rise from the grave. It's not good news for E3, spoilers. We've also gotten the first big game delay of 2023 that we'll discuss briefly. But first, Sam, I understand you've beaten Dead Space.
Yeah, maybe, I beat the remake. I couldn't put it down. I probably spent 12 hours straight playing it in one of the days, the last weekend, which felt so good. You know, I would just get up and eat once and then go back and play more. I just had the day to myself and it was so nice. But yeah, I love it. I think it's exactly like a Resident Evil remake, like I talked about in the previous week. It's the type of game that I just love playing and I want to play more of. And the story's corny and you know, the added dialogue and stuff doesn't add anything, but the graphics add a lot and the mood adds a lot, is done much better. And the guns and the killing feel so fun, and you just get overwhelmed sometimes, and it's great. And like, I wish I'd started on a harder mode. I'm never gonna play through it again on super hard. But now I look back and I was like, oh, I did play through this originally on once, and then I played through the original again on like ultra hard mode. I think I tried to get all the achievements in it, and that was really fun. So I do recommend it. I mean, I think it's really great, and I did that for the Resident Evils, as I've talked about. So I don't know. I think this Resident Evil 8, Resident Evil 2 and 3 remake are just some of the best, most accessible, fun games to sit down and play with. They're just smart and beautiful and fun to play. I love them.
Yeah. I'm enjoying it too, and I'm at 10 hours right now, so I should be just about ready to wrap things up. Maybe I can do that tonight, actually.
What weapons are you using the most?
Whatever I have the most ammo for at the moment. I mean, I definitely use the plasma cutter. Overall, I use the plasma cutter the most.
Yeah. I liked maxing out the plasma cutter this time, which I think a lot of people probably do, but just adding a lot of damage capacity to that and then buying ammo for it all the time was really fun. It's just such a great weapon to use on anything, and you get better at it. It's like, I feel like that weapon I know better than a lot of weapons in other games. It's just great.
Yeah.
It feels so natural.
It's cool that the first weapon you get is the one that probably feels the most satisfying and is probably the most useful.
It's also the one, like, the weapon that it feels like the entire, like, roster of enemies is designed around, like, being able to take down with just the plasma cutter, because there is an achievement for beating the game using only the plasma cutter, which sounds difficult.
That's so cool.
But it's pretty straightforward if you just continue to upgrade it, and it just feels good to use. It's one of the most iconic weapons of all time.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I was originally thinking that would be hard with some of the bosses, but because some of them do have some invulnerabilities to it. But for those, you have the gravity, or whatever it's called, the stasis,
kinesis,
and a lot of boss fights, you can throw stuff at them, and there's like stuff around. So I think that's really clever too. I mean, that's what these games take. They take balance, and this game constantly assesses the balance of the game and says, can you survive with two chits of health left? Probably. And then it gives you one health back, you know, and then you're like, that's not enough. And I love that, you know, and I play these games by hoarding, like you do with elixirs in Final Fantasy, like never use an elixir, right?
Those are for the
end of the game to see if you got all six. In this game, it's like, I look at the end, I'm like, I'm really proud I never used all of this important. I have like 15 nodes left over. I'm like, that was probably stupid, but I'm proud of it. But if you plan hard, then you know to use them all, right? Because you have a strategy.
Exactly. Sure.
Yeah, you're playing it as well.
Yeah, I just started, so I'm in chapter 2 or chapter 3 right now. I played the game back when it came out back on 360, way back when. But and forgive me if I might be retreading old ground, but one thing that just really caught me, the thing that I really love about the game is that it does the remake a la Resident Evil 2 remake, in that I know what happens in the game, but it kind of rearranges scenarios in a way that feels very fun and inventive. And I like the idea of choosing what sort of torture you're going to induce on yourself of this, like rerouting the power. It's like, hey, you need to power up this elevator, which means you need to reroute the power from the lights or the oxygen.
Yeah.
What do you want to choose?
And
I'm like, that's such a difficult choice. One, I'm very scared. Or two, I'm about to run out of air and I'm also very scared. So which one do I want to feel a little bit less scared by?
Yeah. It's great. I'll be wrapping that one up soon. Justin, are you still exclusively playing Factorio?
Almost, Damon. I, after a year of not being concerned and not really caring about the eShop shutdown, not very obsessive with my video game collecting or downloading, I just didn't really care that much that like it was going offline. All of a sudden it hit me all at once. I'm like, oh my God, the eShop shutting down. Like I need to get all those games I was missing out on. And so, I went through here. I have them on my desk here actually.
Okay.
So I actually have some on my here, some of the evidence of what I've been up to here on my desk. I have Professor Layton and the Curious Village. I have Phoenix Wright, Justice for All. I have Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney. I have Phoenix Wright, Trials and Tribulations, and so on and so forth. I'm not going to name them all by name. And so I, like I said, I just all of a sudden got super concerned that like, and I was trying to explain this to my wife and she didn't get it at all. I'm like, no, you don't get it. Like I'm going to have Professor Layton's 1 through 4 and 6, but then I'm not going to have 5 and I'm going to have no way to buy 5. And how weird and crazy is that? And she's like, that doesn't sound important at all. I don't care about anything that you're saying right now. But I've had fun kind of tracking down. I made a spreadsheet of it's less cut and dry than you think, because there's some games that are trapped only on the 3DS eShop. They were never ported. They're not available anywhere. But then there's other games like the Phoenix Wright games actually are all available on the iOS and Android stores and, you know, accessible and very playable on tablets. And so you kind of got to like optimize. You don't have to do this at all, but me being me and my personality, I felt like I had to optimize like where is the best place for me to get each of these games. Ended up buying the two new Phoenix Wright games on the Switch. And long story short, all this eShop shenanigans that I've been up to and spending way too much money, I ended up buying Professor Layton 1, Professor Layton and the Curious Village on my iPad. And that's where I'm playing it. Because they had HD ports.
Is this the Wii and DS eShop, 3DS eShop?
Wii U. And 3DS eShops are shutting down. It is very soon, but you still have like 5 or 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm. It's like March, right?
Yeah, March 27. And the irony, I just think it's funny that like I've spent a lot of money on the eShop and acquired these games and bought a couple games on eBay. But what it led me to was to the App Store and to the very, very high quality, very well done ports of the original Professor Layton trilogy.
That's
and I'm
cool.
having it. I'm having a ton of fun going through Professor Layton and the Curious Village.
I love that game. That game is wonderful.
I got to ask.
Which I didn't remember. Go ahead.
Are the 3DS games still full price?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. So
that's always, that's you the actually just, I got. Yeah.
You just missed, if you're listening to the show now, the Phoenix Wright games were all on sale for $5. Which unfortunately that sale has ended. But Professor Layton, the two Professor Layton 3DS games are $40 each on the eShop.
And wait, sorry, were those only digitally distributed? The ones you needed?
I can't remember. I think they're either digital only, or if they're a physical release, the physical release is like $200 or something now.
Oh, so it was, wow. It was a rare 3DS game.
Yeah, and I can't remember which is which. I do have one IGN deals tip. This is Professor Layton and the Spectre's Call, which if that sounds unfamiliar to you, that's because that's the UK release of the fourth Professor Layton game, which that game in the US is incredibly rare. It's like $250. You can't get it. You can't find it. But DS carts are region free, and you can still get the UK version on the cheap. So that's what I did. It's actually my only, you know, my only Peggy rated, because it's not the ESRB over there, Professor Layton game. And so
I was in, I was in France when Phoenix Wright came out. And I that one I have on like the European version of, and like it's a bigger case.
Yeah, it is.
It's like clear. It's really cool. And then and that one, like, you know, it came in every language in the EU. Yeah, that's it. That's exactly what it looks like. It's just a little puffier. I thought it was really cool though.
Did they put the letter U?
That's what was great about the DS. You could play whatever you want.
Did they put the letter U in spots you won't suspect?
Oh, there's colors with U's everywhere. But that's only proper because Professor Layton himself would spell color that way.
It's just true to the manga.
I didn't remember the twist in Professor Layton and the Curious Village until, like, you know, when I started playing, I didn't remember. And then, like, 4 or 5 hours in, I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember now. So, yeah.
And it kind of makes sense to the theme of that game, which is, like, people are giving me puzzles a whole lot. What's up with these people? They always give me puzzles.
Yeah, it's insane the way that they integrate the puzzles into that game. And so, you know, I don't know. That's it. That's all I have to say about that.
Cool.
That's how I'm going to end every time that I talk on GameScoop from now on. I'm all done talking about that.
Buy Crimson Shroud before the 3DS eShop shuts down. It's a very good RPG.
What game is that?
Crimson Shroud RPG? It's the Yasumi Matsuno Dungeons & Dragons inspired JRPG that's eShop only for the 3DS. He's a dude who made Final Fantasy Tactics, Tactics Advance, all that stuff. Very interesting board game sensibilities in that game.
I can make a note.
That's a good shout. Maybe next week on the show we could do like a deeper dive on like a list of games, but like another really good one to shout out is a 3DS eShop exclusive called Gotta Protectors, GOTTA.
I'm not familiar with that one.
Okay. E3. Supposedly coming back this year, I'll believe it when I see it. IGN had a report this week that should E3 return this June, it will be without the participation of Nintendo or PlayStation or Xbox. Which leaves me wondering, what are we even doing there? What even? Because no other publishers, EA doesn't go to E3 anymore.
So it depends. Like, you know, there's been, I think it was Sony and Nintendo, like, there's not attending E3 at all. We're not going to have any announcements. We're not going to be in the city of LA. We're doing nothing, versus these companies that didn't officially attend E3, but they would have a big thing like next door or across the street, and they would still have a press conference and still have a Nintendo Direct. Like,
sure.
There's a very big difference between the two. Like, I don't care if they're on the show floor or not, or have an E3 affiliated event or not. But if they just pass on like having game news at that time of year, then yeah, obviously that feels very bad.
Yes, certainly I don't think they're going to skip making any sort of announcements around E3. But what's the point of actual E3, though, of going to the show floor and having booths when all the big players aren't even going to show up?
They're just going to turn it into the lands between. It's going to be a...
PAX, there's already PAX, which is, you know, a really fun show, but doesn't have a lot of big publisher attendance.
I think
you're
just going to see a lot of third-party stuff, right? Like Sega, like Bandai Namco stuff, I would assume, maybe? I mean,
no one has been confirmed as of yet.
But yeah, the big three are not showing up.
They already have like an uphill battle, because like the people that miss what E3 used to be are like us older, you know, gamers and players that have been in the industry and have played games for a long time, and you remember following E3 in its prime in the 90s and like early 2000s, but like I think some of the younger people, it hasn't been that level of glory in a long time, so they're like, I don't care, I'm gonna get a state of play PlayStation whenever it happens, I'll be fine with that, I can just watch a Nintendo Direct, don't need E3. So they already have an uphill battle.
They're just gonna watch it.
What's that?
Oh, just the younger gamers are gonna have somebody watching a TikTok dance recapping the day's E3 news, and that's all they need.
Yeah, or they have a Twitch streamer, and they'll watch them watch the state of play, and then watch and just get their reactions to it.
They want to see how.
So there's like always the, like just to like a little historical context for E3. Like a big part of that show was it was a trade show, and the trade show was so purchasers of video games ahead of the holidays, including Toys R Us, GameSpot in the United States. You have your own retailers in the United States would come and play games and be like, we should order this many units of this for this fall. Like that was an actual purpose of that. And with digital distribution, that's gone away so much. So, you know, the trade show aspect of it is going away a whole lot. So what's the purpose of it? Well, the purpose of it could be a fan convention, which would be like Damon mentioned, like PAX. So they'd have to make that like really appealing, but it's super expensive to build like a neat booth and staff it. Right. And so it's like, people don't really want to like do that if they're not guaranteed to have this like, you know, huge amount of audience and press coverage, which leads me to my final point, which is that E3 was a good thing for consumers that did not attend because we got to play games. And that meant the game had to be in a playable state, and then we would be able to evaluate it. And that is a consumer service that, like, you know, if that gets cut out, you just have one less data point in, is this game going to be any good? Should I pre-order this? Which, like, you know, some people say don't pre-order games, wait for the review. But, like, that's why these events should exist for consumers, is so like either they can play it or we can tell you like, hey, this game is not what the developer is saying it is, which is gonna happen, or say this is the most exciting thing that we saw because it just feels really good to play. You just can't get that from trailers and watching gameplay. They show you, you know, we call them bull shots and screenshots, and I think we made up a name for the trailer version of that, but you know, can't remember what it was.
I think Cyberpunk 2077 won our E3 game of the show, and I'm not poking fun at us. Like, the section of the game that was playable, it wasn't a video, a human was playing it, but we saw a hands-off demo of it. That vertical slice was so polished and so incredible.
Oh my God.
And then it was great. Like, and then the game came out and it was broken as heck, right? And it took them a year and a half to fix it up. And so I guess the point that I'm building to is like, I'm trying to remember, all my E3 memories are blended up, like slowly and steadily over the years. I feel like I personally got my hands on a controller less and less and less often at E3. Like, you would see videos of games or hands off demos of games. And there definitely were, all the way up till the final E3, you know, you could walk up and play games, but like, that was not like, it was just way less of an emphasis already, which just decreases, like, circling back to the core point of like, are they on the show floor or not? Like, you know, the vibe had already been shifting over the last decade or so.
Remember the Breath of the Wild booth where it was like 1 year Nintendo just shut down everything, and they were like, we're just gonna have PlayStations for Breath of the Wild game PlayStations.
Play space stations.
Yeah. That was so cool. And they did. And then you just go in. I would just loop that line through the day, and I was like, I want to play this. What I think it was a timed demo as many times as I could because it was so open ended, and that like absolutely sold me and the audience in the game.
That was like a company that understood the assignment of like how to build a booth and like what you're doing there and what function it should fulfill. And it was like, it felt like, you know, it was like a little preview of like what Super Nintendo Land is like, where like there was a little area with like McCoblins cooking things on a fire in the booth. And like, that serves no purpose other than to like look cool and be cool. Like, you should, don't leave GameScoop, finish GameScoop. After GameScoop, go Google like Nintendo Breath of the Wild E3 booth tour. And it's like, it was the best.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously, PlayStation hasn't gone to E3 in a long time. But Nintendo, even though they started doing their Nintendo Direct instead of a live presentation conference, they still had their booth. And then Xbox, I think, is the real surprising one to me, because they've actually been very vocally, publicly supportive of the ESA, the organization behind E3. Xbox is on the board of the ESA, if I'm not mistaken. they participated fully in the last digital E3 that occurred in, what, 2021? So they're the one that's a big surprise for me. And also, I would just think E3 could be important to a lot of publishers because the back half of 2023 is a complete mystery. Mm-hmm. After, you know, after the deluge of games come through June, we don't know anything about what's... I mean, we know that Sony's going to have Marvel Spider-Man 2 at some point in the fall, but, like, we don't know any release dates for any big games that are supposedly coming in the fall, and E3 would be the place to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, if they don't feel the pressure to have a press conference, but just, like, press materials and kind of, you know, show their hand in June, then they're not going to do it now. And Nintendo didn't last year. They're just like, we don't need a June Nintendo Direct, and they just didn't do one. And we thought they would, through the whole month, we're like, oh, must be next week. Like, checking your watch, you're like, nope, they just never did it. And so now you know it's possible for Nintendo to completely just skip June. So that wasn't a thing before. That's new. They would always have a Direct. They even had, when they weren't in, they were the first people to not have a press conference in the hall,
yeah,
right? But they just would have a Direct, and it was part of E3. It was E3 branded, as we say, and, you know, you would watch it and it would say Nintendo at E3. But, you know, there's still a door open for those deals to happen. Like, there's no way that, like, you know, like, things are locked into stone right now, but I think it completely is going to depend on all lineups, or, like, is there a reason to talk about next year, the year after, and the year after, as there was in the past? A lot of people think, like, now, like, well, video game companies get kind of, like, punished for that, right? Because they miss their deadlines, right, and they delay their games. And it's like, how much intel are we going to get out of the future going forward? It's really hard to tell.
Speaking of Nintendo, side note, has everyone been following along the rumors about Advance Wars
1 and 2? That it's supposed to shadow drop, right?
Shadow drop next week.
Yep.
Next week, a shadow drop. All right. Well, they just put out Fire Emblem, though. It makes no sense.
There'll be a month in between them.
Isn't there rumors that there's supposed to be a Nintendo Direct also in the first week of February? Which I'm like, I feel like every time I look at the internet, it's like, there's going to be a Nintendo Direct this week, guys.
100%.
But I'm every month. I don't know about that.
And just in case, the rumors are just that people that work at Walmarts report that they've started getting in signage that says Advance Wars 1 and 2 available now. And then they have the instructions to put them up on this date in early February. So that's the reason why.
What's the moniker on that one? Is it Reboot Camp?
Advance Wars Reboot Camp 1 and 2, right? Or Advance Wars 1 and 2 Reboot Camp. Anyway. Mm-hmm.
Can't wait. Yeah. I've just accepted that, like, I made my peace with the fact that 1 and 2 Reboot Camp was just gone. Like, it was just never going to be released. And, like, I'm willing to, like, let a little bit of hope back into my heart that, like, oh, maybe that will be a product that we get to play this year. And, like, if you never played Advance Wars 1 and 2, they're my favorite strategy games ever of all time. So,
very good.
Yeah, check
also,
them out.
Also, incredible sprite work on those original games.
Yeah, unfortunately not in the reboot, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. Take what we can get.
I've come around. I like the reboot style, but yeah, I've come around on it.
I like the sprite combat of recent Fire Emblems, and they switched over for this. And, like, the trade off is interesting, but, like, man, the cutscenes look so good, and I don't even want to watch them. They look so good.
Yeah,
I cannot believe the Switch looks that. It's like Metroid. Like, you know, those 30 frame or 60 frame portions of Metroid where you're like, whoa, the Switch can do some cool stuff. Like, think how much harder they have to work on that system to do that too, mm-hmm. which is funny. But there's some wizards internally at Nintendo making that stuff.
Yeah. In any case, I don't know what E3 is going to be this year. I'll be interested to see what they're able to pull off come June.
I hope we all get to be in LA together. That'd be fun to do game scoop from LA.
Right?
I suspect that we're going to be plenty busy around June.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll still be.
That's the thing, is that with all the games out, like, I feel like we're going to have to be covering a bunch of games at, you know, and on our respective offices
over a longer period of time too, because now we're in the era of everyone has their own Direct or their own live stream presentation. It just extends out the summer game event season to basically be the entirety of summer. So I'm like, oh my gosh, I've been working so much.
Kind of a summer.
I mean, we're up to that.
I like that. We should throw some branding on that. I like it.
I was looking at, like, doesn't the first, like, pre-E3 thing, isn't it, like, the Wednesday before now? Which means that, like, if you're a journalist coming into town, like, it's like a 10-day commitment to, like, be in downtown LA.
This episode of Game Scoop is brought to you by NordVPN. As Scoop Nation knows, your Omega Cops have been a little obsessed with a movie called Weekend at Bernie's lately. But as happens too often these days, it is difficult to find it streaming here in the US. That's where NordVPN comes in. With NordVPN, you can switch your virtual location to a more enlightened region where they appreciate the comic delights of Weekend at Bernie's. And it's not just for streaming movies and shows. Switching your virtual location can allow you to save money by purchasing flights, hotels, and subscriptions from other countries at a cheaper price. And you can do all this worry-free as NordVPN threat protection features protect you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites. Best of all, NordVPN costs the price of a cup of coffee a month, and one account can be used on up to 6 devices. To get the best discount on your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/gamescoop. Our link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. That's nordvpn.com/gamescoop. 1 in 5 Americans has learned a new language on their bucket list, or life backlog, if you will. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Upgrade your personal skill set in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Its tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and deliver with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. I have a trip to Mexico coming up, so I've been using Babbel to brush up on my Spanish. The courses are short and sweet, so I can do one whenever I have a few minutes to spare. And the words and phrases it teaches you are designed for practical, real-world use, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions. Babbel can even provide you feedback on your pronunciation with its speech recognition tech. And it's not just for Spanish. Babbel includes 14 different language courses, each backed by a 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for Scoop Nation. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, only for our listeners, at babbel.com/gamescoop. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/gamescoop, spelled BABBEL.com/gamescoop. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey now.
All right, in other news from this week, the first big game delay of 2023 was Star Wars Jedi Survivor. Pushed back 6 weeks, not the end of the world, but a bummer for people like myself who are greatly looking forward to that game. Now it's coming out April 28th, just the same day as Dead Island 2, and that will be a very easy decision for me.
Yeah,
but it's here. Not the same day or same week as Resident Evil anymore, which is really helpful.
Yeah, that is true. So now we can just focus, at least I can, my entire March can just focus on Resident
RE4.
Evil 4, which I continue to get more and more excited about.
I cannot wait.
Yeah. Jedi Survivor also, April 28th, is just a few days before Redfall. So I don't know if Redfall should be worried about that at all.
Yeah, and I don't know if Redfall should be on my single-player radar. Despite watching basically everything they've done with it, I still don't understand, but that's okay. Because Deathloop, I did not understand what the heck that game was until I played it, and then I loved it. So I'm going to give it some time.
Arcane can do no wrong in my eyes. I've loved every single one of their games. Their immersive sim, just sandbox-style games just really speak to me on a fundamental level. I'm like, they only make the games that I like in a very specific way. So I'm like, yeah. Please, give me those vampires. I will kill them.
I agree with you. My only concern is that this one's built around co-op, so just
right.
If it's as fun to play all by myself, then I'll be on board. Remains to be seen, I guess. But also, the other news out of EA is that they apparently canceled the single-player Titanfall game.
This
Titanfall 3. It was called, the code name was what? Titanfall Legends, I believe.
Yeah, it's set in the Apex Legends Titanfall's universe because it's a shared universe. Spoilers.
Yeah.
But what does it mean to cancel a game that was never announced?
It's just to build hope that it could have happened, and then it just dashes it. Because I feel like they've done that before, where they were like, yeah, we were working on a Titanfall 3, but nah, we killed it. And they're just like, well, you didn't need to know that, but we wanted to let you know?
It's tough to I said that half as a joke, but there is some when is something get out of the prototype phase? Like we have a few people sort of tossing something around nah, this is real. It's we're going to kill it after all. But it was never announced. And it's I don't know. It's a little bit, I think it's one that stings just because people really, really have an affinity for Titanfall 2. And that universe and that lore and that team is just, so talented and kind of hasn't had a miss yet that it seems to be, I've been kind of trying to figure out why this one has hit people harder. this news.
And they specifically called it out as a single player experience, which I think hurts a little bit more.
Yeah. EA is such a funny company because they have this reputation, of course, for just putting out the same sports games year after year. They've bungled their huge properties like Battlefield. And then they've been like openly like anti-single-player gaming, like as a company in the past.
Yet they put out some of the most refined single-player games of all time, Jedi Fallen Order. Yeah. You have Dead Space, you have Titanfall 2, all fundamental, beloved single-player campaigns. And maybe it's our bubble that we all are in a video game bubble that we all like similar games, but people just can't shut up about Titanfall 2, and for good reason. Yeah. It's a fantastic single-player experience, so to deny us that, it just feels wrong. It hurts.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there was the company, I would push back a little. It was just the one tweet that then, somebody popped off on social media, and then the company had to immediately, hat in hand, walk it back.
You're forgetting the old comments that was John Ricciatello, where they were they canceled the Star Wars game. It was shaping up to be a long, narrative-driven, single-player game, so we canceled it.
And also, a big reason why Battlefront 2 put so much emphasis on a single-player experience in the thing, because the original Battlefield just didn't have that.
Yeah.
Battlefront is what I meant to say.
He doesn't even work at EA anymore, Damon. They're a different company.
I know. This is part of their track record and reputation. Now, of course, we know that.
Fair enough. I don't know why I'm I don't need to carry water. For EA. It's fine. They can defend themselves.
A year ago, we learned that EA is working on three new Star Wars games at Respawn. All are happening at Respawn. There's the sequel to Fallen Order, and then there's a first-person shooter, and then there's a strategy game. So maybe those are going well, and they don't have time to work on a single-player Titanfall game as well.
Curious about the first-person shooter. At first, I've heard of that, which sounds awesome because I mean I love Republic Commando. So if they do something in that vein, that'd be pretty sick. But and also, I'm not a big RTS guy, and I know people love Empire at War as this marquee RTS title. So if those people get another one of those, I'd be very happy for them.
I would too.
Yes, an RTS with space battles would be really cool. If it's planet side, I personally won't care.
That's an interesting...
Because it's going to be Naboo. I don't care about that. I just don't want to be on Naboo.
No, it's going to be Hoth and Naboo. Duh.
Great. Great.
Yeah, there's only three planets in Star Wars.
If judging by the movies, 90% of it will be on Tatooine.
You know what's underrepresented? We don't ever get Dagobah. We get Hoth. A million and one times, but
what war is gonna happen?
That's going to be a survival game where you have to build a fort in the swamps of Dagobah. You got to avoid some weird snakes and eat some
dinosaurs.
And some evil cave. Okay, good point. Yeah, but I don't know. It could be Spore.
You've entered the evil cave. You will take gradual health damage the longer you are in the cave. I don't know where I'm going with
Thank
this.
You.
In Lego Star Wars, this a really the show that I watch with my kid, there's a great joke. In Empire, when they land on the asteroid inside the giant space slug, and they come out wearing oxygen masks, and they're like, let's see if this is the one place in the galaxy that doesn't have a breathable atmosphere. Nope, it's fine. Okay, it's been 7 days since we recorded the last episode of the Game Scoop. That means that 26,000 games have since been released onto the Nintendo eShop, which means that it's time once again to check in with the Nintendo Seal of Quantity.
It's been such a bountiful year. I can't believe it.
Like we're doing this segment a lot. I check every week, and I wouldn't do it if there weren't more amazing games that I just have to call attention to. It's my duty.
We're just giving games such good publicity now through GameScoop that they're just releasing them at a higher clip. They're shoveling faster, as you'd say.
They're called Scoop Bait. They're just making Scoop Bait games now. We'll talk about this on GameScoop.
Totally.
Viewers, listeners, the Nintendo Seal of Quantity is your assurance that absolutely no one is watching the Nintendo eShop. Anything can be released there. Anything. Games like, let's begin. Where to begin this week? Games like Anime Girls Camping Trip. Hold your horses.
I'm listening.
This game is rated E for everyone. There's nothing scandalous.
Okay.
Anime Girls Camping Trip is $4. And the description is, the day of camping with friends has arrived. Prove to be the memory of the group. It's up to you to prove that you know all the rules of camping. And hopefully, Mariah brought
all the rules.
Hopefully Mariah got screens of the games that we can pull up here. Oh yeah, Anime Girls Camping Trip. Camping with girlfriends is one of the most exciting experiences of adolescence. Prove that you know all the rules of camping perfectly. Don't make a mistake. If you fail, they will know and you won't prove your memory. Unveil the secret question that the girls will ask you in question 150. Kind of a spoiler there.
I mean, on the count of three, everyone said the first rule of camping. We all know it, right?
Anime Girls Camping Trip.
What's the gameplay? What do you do in the game?
You talk to the girls.
Part of the segment is that you'll never know. You'll never know.
They quiz you about what your camping knowledge is.
Wow.
Yep.
The camping rules.
Yep. Of course. Prove your memory. Okay, the next one is...
Yeah, I believe it's take only pictures and leave only... What is it? Memories? I can't remember the camping... There is a camping rule.
I thought it was pack it in, pack it out.
Pack it in, pack it out. That's a good camping rule. See, we can come up with some camping rules here.
We didn't come up with that. That's a... Well,
are you trying to prove your memory
Yeah, we can extract them from our own memories.
Yeah, pack it in, pack it out.
Just like that time at camp, remember, y'all?
What?
Well...
Camping
with girlfriends is one of the most exciting experiences of my adolescence. Okay,
well, do you think we could do goose camping with girlfriends? Could that be the title that we aim for?
Maybe
for our first
we could
camp?
Do a tie-in with Anime Girls. Goose camping trip.
There you go.
Goose camping.
Okay. I once had a raccoon steal an entire bag of marshmallows from our campsite, so I don't know what that counts for.
One time I saw a raccoon standing up on its hind legs and it just stood there like a little man.
Hey, this is my site.
It just stood there. It was kind of like sniffing there and looking right at me, but it just didn't stop standing. Dominance.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
I offered it shorts, tiny shorts. But...
Some say the raccoon is still standing there to this day. Okay, our next intro this week is Air Jet Fighter Combat Europe Fly Plane Attack. Set you back $5.
Air Jet Fighter.
Tells you everything you need to know.
Air Jet Fighter Combat Europe Fly Plane Attack.
Hey, there's some screenshots down there. Yep. Oh, there we go.
This game doesn't look that bad. It's a realistic 3D aerial.
It's like
game.
Remember the recent Afterburner?
No.
There's no way the game looks like that.
It was like 8 or 10 years ago.
The description is, a bunch of opponents are not afraid of you if you are on a new high-speed fighter. Many missions with a theme, shoot or be shot down, will keep you on your toes. Realistic graphics, excellent planes, maneuvering like real ones, turn the game into a real battle for survival. With knocking down your enemies, you will experience all the thrill of the game. Welcome to Air Fighter Air Attack. So,
I mean,
the name?
Wait, that's a different name.
The title in the eShop is Air Jet Fighter Combat Europe Fly Plane Attack, but then they say, welcome to Air Fighter Air Attack.
Just a localization.
Ah, okay. So you can see the evolution of the keyword stuff there. They're like, no, we got to add more keywords.
Air Fighter
search.
Air Attack doesn't have nearly enough keywords in it.
Watch out, Ace Combat.
Okay. You guys like keywords in your titles? How about Animal Supercraft Maker Word Simulator Deluxe Game 2023?
2023. Yeah.
2023 edition. This one is only $2.
It already looks like a game that would be in a movie.
Okay, wait. Moran, go back to that. Okay, let's set the scene here. I want it for our listeners. I need to describe what this game looks like. You are like a lumberjack with an axe. You're in a 3D space. There are some anthropomorphic animals approaching you with like axes or sledgehammers and shields. You're at the base of a castle. On top of the castle are like some piranha plant Venus flytrap things, and also some giant bugs are flying at you.
There's a lot. There's a lot to unpack here. This is a little bit like an E-rated version of The Forest. It looks like that. It looks like that deer was going to beat you to death with that sledgehammer. That's what it looks like he's coming to do.
So it says.
So if on 20 questions we asked you, is this a simulator, a maker, or a word game? You would just have to say yes.
Yep. Yes. Yes. So it says Animal Supercraft.
And then it still wouldn't help us.
Animal Supercraft is a 2.5D platform game where you take the role of a woodcutter in the forest where you fight various animals in three different locations. Would you like to experience your endurance capabilities in various extreme situations? If yes, then Animal Super Craft Maker Word Simulator is the ideal game because that's a resource management strategy game about survival and consequences. We play as a lumberjack who went to the forest. Along the way, he meets animals with different types of weapons. Each animal has its own behavior and characteristics. Actions take place in three locations. Forest. There is a forest itself, a mountainous area, and a cave. Inside a tree, and the final level is an animal castle. At the end of each location,
spoilers.
At the end of each location, there is a boss. At the end of the game, he returns to his home.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad that that was clarified for us.
That happens at the end of Dead Space, actually.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no, it doesn't. Unless they change it for the remake.
You got to beat the game on New Game Plus to get that ending.
Okay, so with all of those game genre descriptions, including Word in the title, it's actually just a platformer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why.
So it's not a maker. It's not a crafting game. It's not a simulator. It ain't deluxe. It's just Animal Game 2023.
Yeah.
Can we disagree on that?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know what Word is doing in the title here. Maybe they just put another word in it. We need another keyword. Just put Word in.
Yeah. Well, forgot to fill that one in.
Okay. This next one is Extreme. Next game. Chain Car Stunt Simulator 3D Extreme Highway Car Driving Games.
Chain Car.
Yeah,
chain car.
So two cars Classic. Are racing. It's like, what's it called when you're like the drag racing?
Drag
but
race.
They're connected by a giant chain. All
right, I'm in.
Chain Car Stunt Simulator.
So I haven't personally heard of chain car racing.
I haven't either.
But maybe it's a thing.
Did they invent it just for this
game?
Well,
I mean, if you haven't heard of it, you clearly just aren't in that scene.
I'm not.
See, clearly you don't hang out in the LA River at midnight.
I'm not a chainer.
Yeah, you gotta always keep your switchblade at hand for a chain car.
The Chained and the Furious.
The description is chain. Or this is the latest gaming attraction with all new car racing mania adventure in town. So be prepared to break.
Well, look
the
at
chain.
That! Those cars are chained together.
Be prepared to break the chain, as it is a real challenge and test of your core driving skills. Now look at this one. There's like a semi truck and a tank that are chained together.
Yeah. Well, I will say, name don't lie.
I mean,
yeah. I kind of want this one.
It does what it says.
The concept is intriguing to me. Two cars go fast,
agreed.
One goes faster, and it destroys other car. I'm in.
Justin, put this on the to save when the Nintendo Online Shop.
Yep.
Was
yeah, I'm taking notes.
The description says, "Do you like chained car games where you have to drive them on tricky tracks? If yes,
I didn't
welcome.
Think I did.
Welcome to the new Chain Car Stunt Simulator 3D. The main idea of the game is to drive and race the car against the chain car with a breakable chain. A real challenge here is that you have to follow the chain car without breaking the chain to the finish line. Several modes, locations, and cars are available in the game that diversify the atmosphere during its use. So get into the driving seat of thrilling trained cars. To enjoy endless chain break adventure on real highway impossible tracks, accept the impossible challenge of driving luxury sports cars and trucks in this impossible chain cars game and win races against racing rivals and be the ultimate breaker of the chains master of Chain Car Stunt Simulator 3D.
Well, what a box.
Well, you know what's nice? If you're just racing one other car and you're chained to it, really it can only be a close second no matter what in the worst case scenario. You can just take your hands off the wheel, a close second no matter what.
So a lot of these games come from the same publisher.
Yeah.
I don't believe you.
Yeah. And they're all kind of like vehicle driving games usually of some sort. But they have another one out this week that looks like a departure for them. This one is called Tales of Shinobi Fantasy Magic Anime World Fight RPG Simulator.
Oh, you said all the right words for Nick.
Nick's good. Let me download this one.
Tell me more.
Well, I have another complaint about the chain game.
Oh, okay.
So everybody always criticizes racing games for having rubber banding effects. So they said, let's take that and make it a feature, but worse.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like, you know, taking a game and being like, let's just make a game called Fetch Quest to just, you know, you're just going to run errands for somebody.
Yeah.
Which might be what Tales of Shinobi Fantasy Magic Anime World Fight RPG Simulator is.
Yeah, I don't know what's being simulated here. The description was not very amusing. Nothing really notable to say about the description now.
All games are similar.
So I guess Shinobi's not a license, huh?
No. Can't trademark the word Shinobi, I don't think.
I mean, they did, though, right? On PS2.
What do you mean they trademarked it?
Wasn't Shinobi like a PS2 game to do with the red scarf, the big giant one?
Yeah, but it's like
it's just somebody's name.
Like, you can't trademark the name Ninja. Yeah.
Well, what if you could, though?
Are you saying I could put out a game called Ninja Gaiden?
I mean, it's just Ninja Side Story.
You could try, right? You could try.
Okay, let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Listeners.
Well, howdy.
Remember, you can always reach us at the email address, Gamescoop. I don't know which camera to look at. That's why I'm looking around. Gamescoop@IGN.com. Just like Tony Kilbrew did. Kilbrew? Kilbrew. One of those.
Oh, says, you got me so excited there for a sec.
What? Why? Oh, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know if I'm going to be saying that, Tony.
Yes.
Says, what's up, Scoop? I just started listening a month ago, and I've been listening to your shows from 2011 onwards on Spotify my commute to work every day. I'm listening to new shows as well. I really enjoy the podcast, and I wanted to send in a question. If y'all were given $200 to purchase one retro gaming console with a game, what console would it be and what game?
Oh, man.
Do we, by the way, if he's starting from 2011 and then like wrote in his question, is he not going to know we read it off for like another year and a half when he's caught up?
He's current with new episodes too.
But so he's bopping back and forth. Yeah. So he's doing the new one, then going back and got it.
The answer is always Virtual Boy. I have two. I could always use another one. Of course, I want a copy of Nestor's Funky Bowling. Yeah. I have one that it's sealed in the box and I can't play it.
Yeah. How much does a Virtual Boy go for?
About that.
About $200.
About $200.
Provided very few of them work. You have to, unless they're repaired now too. They have this problem with the monitors. There's two little monitors in there and a bad ribbon cable. Also, I passed up on a TurboGrafx for about that with a stack of games, and I will always regret it.
Yeah.
Like 15 games, like some rare ones too.
Was Splatterhouse in there?
I don't think so. I think it was weirder than that. But you know, that would be a good pick for you, Damon. Splatterhouse and a TurboGrafx 16. I'd come over and play. That'd be fun.
Except I already own that, so
that's my answer. Yeah. I've actually never owned a TurboGrafx 16 growing up, and I always wanted one. And I have recently revisited it now that I'm an adult with disposable income, and I have decided to play through Rondo of Blood and Splatterhouse.
Cool.
And man.
Cool.
Real good games. Yeah, real good time.
Yep.
That's my choice. TurboGrafx, Rondo of Blood. TurboGrafx 16.
Can't emulate a VB, though. The Virtual Boy, man. Can't get that on your...
We have a Virtual Boy somewhere in the IGN LA office, and I'm pretty sure I'm the only one that knows it exists.
Well,
are you sure? All right. You're going to have to... Okay. Nick, this is serious. Get that thing. Open it up. And there should if there's a controller with it, take out the batteries. It's so hard to clean out all the corrosion into those things. And maybe there's a chance that they were put in the last like 3 years or something.
Right after
you
this.
Everybody out there, don't store your batteries in your old controllers or your systems.
No.
They will turn green and leak and ruin more things than just the battery case.
Get them out of there.
They can do a lot of damage.
PSA.
Also, the stand is hard to find for a Virtual Boy now. Usually you just find the red thing.
The red thing. I would get a Sega Saturn because I never owned a Sega Saturn. And I think that's about $120 I think, on eBay. And then I would get Shining Force 3.
Oh, man.
Because I love Shining Force. I love tactics games. And I think I would have enough money to also get a game called Princess Crown, which I've never played, but it's from the guy behind Vanillaware.
Mm. Okay.
And so, like Dragon's Crown and
Odin Sphere and all that jazz. Yeah.
And it's a Sega CD game that looks like that. It's called Princess Crown.
Sign me up. That sounds great.
It's very cool.
Cool.
I would love to get shmups like Battle Gorilla and Batsugan, but they go for like more than $200 just on their own.
Mm-hmm. So I just replayed Battle Gorilla. Is so good, man.
Yes, I know.
I got to check that out.
Saturn was my answer too, and for the same reason. I own almost every video. The only video game consoles I haven't owned from the 16-bit era up are there Saturn, and I never got a PS Vita. So either one of those, and probably the Saturn, given my proclivities, and have to get Knights, would have to get Panzer Dragoon. There's some classics on Saturn. The Saturn version of Symphony of the Night actually has exclusive areas and content not in the PS version. Mm-hmm. And that's the version that actually gets ported and played more often. So
you can play as
I'm always really fascinated.
Really?
Yeah. I brought it up on Scoop before, how fascinated I am with, like, you know, sometimes, and I'm not going to call the PS version inferior, but sometimes an inferior version of a game or a different version of the game is the one that gets ported through the ages. And then there's like some alternate history version of a popularly really well-known video game kind of trapped on an older console. And that's always something I'm really fascinated by.
Yeah. I'm double checking. Isn't Sega Saturn where Tomb Raider was first released? Yeah, it was released like
really
a few weeks before the PlayStation version.
That's cool. Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an entire like series of platforms I'm slowly discovering now that I'm an adult, and I was never a Sega guy growing up, so now I'm righting all the wrongs of my youth and playing through a bunch of old Sega games.
Lots
slowly
of
but surely.
Sega Genesis.
Oh yeah, yeah. Genesis is Genesis, TurboGrafx, and well, it's not, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Saturn as well.
Okay. That brings us to Video Game 20 Questions. Our suggestion this week comes from Andrew in Belfast, Ireland. And real quick, Justin, I picked last week's 20 Questions game specifically for you, forgetting that you weren't going to be on the show. It was...
Sorry.
It was Infinity Blade.
Oh, I would have... Ooh, I don't know if I would have got it, because we don't do mobile very often.
But they got it.
Made by the Fortnite developers.
The creators of Fortnite. The first mobile game that gamers took seriously. Okay, Andrew from Belfast, Ireland, let the questioning begin.
I don't mean to derail us. Can you, like, if you open the App Store, can you, like, download and buy Infinity Blade? Are they just, they're
all
gone?
All
gone.
Three were removed in 2019.
What? Oh, are they on my iPad? Oh, I gotta check
gonna
out.
Download them all right now.
Epic Games would have enough money to figure out how to keep those games available. But nope. Apparently not. Fortnite money can't bring back Infinity Blade.
For the listeners at home, you can't see the desperation in Justin's face.
What? It's like it's just weird. Like, it's not like they were big hits.
They were important mobile games.
Man, video games are kind of the worst sometimes. Like, nothing else has this problem. I can still download fucking like Hamlet. Like, that's hundreds of years old.
Okay. It's hard to watch the Garbage Pail Kids movie unless it appears on YouTube recently. Unless it got recently reissued.
Yeah.
And then if you hard to watch the Garbage Pail Kids movie.
Yeah.
I went through that with, I really, really wanted to watch Hard Boiled over Christmas break, and like, it's not streaming anywhere, and like, it's fine, you can rent it, but it's like, it's just, yeah, it is true that some movies can get kind of hard to find. Anyway.
Was it made before 2000?
No.
Is it available to, can you play it on the Nintendo Switch?
No.
Was this a console exclusive?
Yes.
For Nintendo games? Nintendo systems?
No.
Was it exclusive to a PlayStation system?
Yes. That's 5.
Is it an RPG?
Is it exclusive to an... Is it inclusive? Yeah, go ahead.
Is it an RPG? No.
Is it exclusive to an even-numbered PlayStation system?
No.
What was the year? Was it 2000 or 2010?
2000. So it's not a PlayStation 2 or PlayStation 4. Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty clever. Is it exclusive to a, or it could be like a very late PS1 game or something weird? When it's not. Was this exclusively a PS3 game?
Yes.
Exclusive PS3.
Not a lot of those.
Yeah, what a weird console.
Is it
it's very
a shooter?
Heavy console.
What's that?
Is it a shooter?
It's not a shooter.
Mm. So it's not Resistance.
It's not Killzone either.
No. No.
So Heavenly Sword probably.
Mm.
Was this published by Sony?
Yes, it was, and that's 10.
Maybe it is Heavenly Sword.
Yeah, it could be Heavenly Sword. There's like, I don't know, there's like Starhawk. I don't know if you call that a shooter.
100%, yeah. Oh, yeah, because that is flying and some shooting. There's Lair.
It's like a dogfighting game. Yeah, Lair.
And that's it. It's only those.
I mean,
we've named them all.
Gran Turismo is probably a PS3 Twisted Metal. Nobody knows.
Okay, Damon, have we mentioned the series yet?
No.
Oh, no.
Okay, PS3 exclusive.
Okay.
Was this game made in Japan?
No.
Oh, okay. So maybe it's just...
The Naughty Dog.
Yeah, Uncharted.
God of War.
Crash. Not Crash. Sly? Cooper? Is this the first game in a series?
No.
Why did he say it like that?
It's not.
What does that mean?
It's not the first game in a series.
Maybe it's like God of War Ascension, which I'm pretty sure is like prequel.
Does this have sequels?
No.
Damn.
Okay. So maybe it's PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale.
But that was on the Vita as well. Game?
How do you... What? Really?
Yeah, it was. I owned
Nobody
it.
Nobody remembered. Nobody knew that.
I think it... I don't know if that... I don't know was if we can count that.
That was a PS4 game anyway, wasn't it?
That was developed... Well, I don't know who developed that game.
That was actually PS3, I think.
I really get... The older I get, the console gen, I can't, like, increasingly can't remember what was like PS3 versus PS4 and
US
so on.
Developed, Sony published PS3 games. Not a lot of those. What about like Flower or that game company's that game? Company. What's the
Journey?
Journey, is that US developed? Right. At least it's not Japan developed.
Yes, and I think Sony published them.
Were those all downloadable games?
Yeah, they were.
I think that they. Eventually, like maybe they got physical releases.
They did eventually these do games, a box release, yeah.
When these they games start, were, maybe? When these games first came out, were they primarily thought of as being like downloadable titles? This game.
Just say it again.
It got pluralized.
Here's what I'm trying to get around is I think that Flower and those games eventually were released on a physical medium.
That was the right question.
Yeah, when these games originally released...
When this game was originally released.
Yeah, you're right. My bad. When this game was first released, was it a downloadable release?
Yes.
Was it downloadable? Was it considered a downloadable game?
Yes.
Cool. And that's 15. I think we got it.
Do you play as a... I almost said do you play as a flower, but I think in Flower you play as the wind. I don't really know.
I think you do play as the wind. I think you're right, Justin.
Wait, is the company called That Game Company?
Yeah.
Is this a That Game Company game?
No.
Oh, no.
Okay, so, but it's a downloadable, so we
what
have...
What if it's like
we
Echo
have,
Chrome or something?
Yeah, we have... Geom- it could be... Housemark. They made their Geometry Wars version. It's called what's it called? Oh my god, I love that.
Star something? Planet something?
Yeah, it's on the tip of my. It's right on the tip of my tongue. There's also like Fat Princess.
Fat Princess we've had before. That would be a good one. That was a PSP lead game, I think, but it was on PS3 also.
What's the Housemark shooter? I know everything about the game. I can picture it, and I even remember how the controls work, but I can't.
And that, like that wasn't for PS4, for sure?
Yeah, it was PS3. Well, no, not for sure, because I don't trust my brain to know anything for sure anymore.
It was like on a sphere, right?
Yeah, it was on a sphere, exactly. Maybe that was a PS4
launch
game.
That was a PS4 launch game, the one with a bunch of pretty particle effects.
Yeah,
was a PS4 launch game. I know which one you're talking about.
Okay, that's good.
Okay, Sony published, though.
Dude, there was a lot of weird... So, what was that? There was the Tokyo Zoo, the animal game, that weird animal game?
Those are all Japan-developed, so we can dismiss those. Right. I, including the one where you're that very tiny person that's a superhero that corrals zombies.
Yeah, dude, I have a real soft spot for those games. Like, I feel like XBLA gets all the attention, but there was so much like esoteric stuff on PSN, too. Okay. Yeah, I had that game. I like that game. The Corralling Zombies game. Man, I haven't thought about that in a long time.
Maybe I don't know who made that, though.
Dude, nobody does. I don't know how to... I don't know where to go from here.
I don't either. Could it be a racing or puzzle game? That's a series.
What was it? So, this was... The answer was yes, this was the first in its series, or no, it was not. I don't remember.
It's a one-off, so we had to clarify. There's no sequels to it.
Damon, have we named or alluded? I don't. Never mind. How many questions do we have left?
3 questions and a guess.
Is it worth asking again? Can we ask the same question twice? Now have we named or alluded to the game?
You could ask that.
I'm down.
Ask. Okay. It. Have we either named or alluded to this game now?
No.
Oh my gosh.
Cool. Great. Cool. Sony published downloadable PS3 game not made in Japan. Dude.
What about Little Big Planet? And then like Cutaway, Tearaway, like those type of games?
Tearaway. Could be Tearaway. It can't be Little Big Planet because that was on a, you know, that was a physical release. Mm-hmm. Tearaway maybe, although
Tearaway was also on Vita.
I think about that as a handheld game mostly.
And then what about Unfinished Swan?
That was a PS4.
That's a good one.
Isn't that a PS4?
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
It's 3. No, that's got to be.
I think it's multi-plat because I definitely owned it on a PS4. It was a free PS Plus thing.
Who made it?
It was...
Nobody knows.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Europeans?
I think so.
I mean, I don't think it's Japanese is what I'm saying. I'm not sure, though.
Well, we asked if it was Japanese. Oh, that game. No, I don't think that game was. Unfinished Swan was really good.
Would you call... I don't know how to say... I don't know how to narrow stuff to it because do you play as a human? Is it? Oh, it's first person.
Yeah.
Is this a first person game?
No.
Okay.
One question and a guess.
Do we want to like? No, not art style.
Wasn't there like I'm trying to go. I don't have the same memory palace Sam has. It's just a mess up here. But like I have like weird scattered memories of playing some like Smash TV clone on the. On PSN.
Wasn't there like a Dead Planet or something, which was another like it was I think it's from the people who made like Bit Trip Runner and stuff like that, and it was like a weird
Sony wouldn't have published it.
There's Soundscapes and there's the Pixel Junk games.
Yeah, Pixel Junk.
Does Sony publish those?
Pixel Junk.
I think so. Well, actually maybe not. Maybe those are all on Xbox too. I don't know, I can't remember. Maybe it could be sound is it Sound Shapes or Soundscapes?
Sound Shapes is a good guess.
Sound Shapes.
That's not bad.
Dude, and Sound Shapes ruled.
I feel like
it was just this really weird, it was sort of a little bit like Rhythm Heaven where like just these it's hard to describe verbally, but just weird little rhythm minigame moments. That like were very artsy and interesting.
And you don't think it's Japanese, like Locoroco?
I think Sound Shapes is Japanese, though. Oh, I don't know. I think that's the closest. Well, we still got one more.
Here's my plan. We have one question and a guess. Mm-hmm. I want to ask the question if it's a Pixel Junk game, and if not, then we'll guess Sound Shapes. And if it is, then we have to guess a Pixel Junk game.
I'm down.
Is it Pixel Junk? Is that what it was? I can't remember.
I've never played any of those.
It's like Pixel
was
Junk.
This game
Eden,
part of
Pixel
the...
Junk Shooter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eden is the only one I really remember well, but there was Monsters.
Pixel Junk Monsters.
Is this a Pixel Junk game?
No.
Oh, man.
Is it Sound Shapes?
No, it is not
Sound Shapes. Oh, no.
This game was an action game released on the PlayStation Network in 2007.
It's the zombie game.
Fond memories of playing it with Greg Miller in the IGN office.
It's the zombie game.
Shadow Complex?
No, it's called Pain.
Oh, the one where you throw your dude ragdoll everywhere.
Dude.
Oh,
yeah, Pain was really...
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't remember. I owned and played a lot of Pain, but I didn't remember it was PSN only.
Me neither. Is this a Explosion Man-like?
Well, no. Explosion Man is like a platformer. You just launch. It's like it's kind of like a Burnout. Like you launch your guy and cause
or like goat
season. Yeah.
Okay.
They don't make games like this looks... anymore.
No.
Totally looks like a IGN Office hit.
Yeah, it was. We liked it.
And the thing that I really remember about Pain is that this was the only level in the game.
That's how it launched, and that's actually why. So Greg Miller reviewed it. He gave it, even though we had a blast with it, he gave it a 6.8 because this is all. It was launched with one level and one guy, and that's it. And then they added more stuff later,
which was unusual at the time to do updates like that.
Yeah, but this was like an early PSN game, and it was an early hit for them. I think this actually sold really well, and then they released it on disc in Europe only, but not for us. Mm. And then, so
a lot of naughty jokes happening in this.
Yeah, and
real mature video games.
I don't think it's available anymore. I think it's gone the way of Infinity Blade. But by the end, they've added characters like Santa Claus, the editor in chief of Famitsu magazine. They added him to the game. They added Elvira, Flavor Flav,
cool.
George Takei, and David Hasselhoff.
I mean, great. What year did this come out? 2007? That feels right. Yeah, that feels right.
That all tracks.
And then Greg Miller's review of this game for IGN begins with, "It was somewhere around the time GameScoop's own Damon Hatfield pulled back on the human slingshot, launched Jarvis through the air, snagged grandmother by her hair, dragged her down a staircase leading to a subway, and slammed into an exploding crate that I realized how much fun pain can be."
Yeah. Yeah. The game, that was like, so it had this one stage, that was it, but it was super, super, super dense and like packed with like there was this little teeny tiny way that you could get your character down into the subway. And then there was like a whole subway you could bounce around in and like explode in. That was pretty hard to find. So it was full of these like deep layered Easter eggs.
Well, nicely try, everyone. Thank you for the suggestion. Andrew in Belfast, Ireland. Viewers, listeners, you have your own suggestions for questions.
Hard mode, guys. That was hard mode.
Yeah. Although I'm not even usually I'm all disappointed and upset when we lose, but I feel like that was like straight up, like we got there, we got close, but then, you know, and then an honest loss.
2007 feels so long ago when I see that. Like, wow, that feels very different than what I thought PS3 felt like. Sure enough.
Yeah. It's like, you know, I'm never trying to pick something so obscure you wouldn't pick it. That's a game that I think people would remember if they were reminded of it, but don't think about it very often. That sort of thing.
Yeah, I don't know how I missed it. Like, that was Square and when I was like freelancing for IGN and covering stuff. I mean, I had an Xbox only for a little while, so maybe that's why, but man.
Same here.
I played all the other games we talked about here, you know, like.
You weren't working in.
Especially that zombie one with the little guy.
Oh, yeah.
Which is great.
That's called The Last Guy, right?
I was thinking of Dead Nation.
Yeah. And then Jess was trying to think of Super Stardust HD, but then you guys conflated that with the PS4 launch one, which now I can't remember.
I can't remember the name of it.
That was with the voxel.
That's the Defender-like.
Yeah. It starts with an R. I know that.
Rezogun.
There it is.
Sam, you'll be happy. I'm on the Pain wiki. Two of the DLC stages were Morningwood High School and Area 69, and one that I don't even want to read off the name of. So
real mature video games.
So that was
it's that kind of game.
It was developed by Idle Hands, which now is Deck Nine, and now they make spin-offs of Life is Strange, and they're doing the Expanse game for Telltale. So it's just. How weird that the guys that or the studio that made Pain is making these completely different.
They did the recent Life is Strange spinoff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How, is that full of dirty jokes too?
I think that's where Ryan Clements went to work. I think when he left IGN.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, he's at Riot
now.
But yeah.
Right, but for a time he was at Deck Nine, right?
Oh, that's funny.
Whoa! What a crazy industry. I've been here so long. So many things have happened.
Yeah. No kidding.
Okay, viewers, listeners, if you have your own suggestions for 20 questions or questions for us on the show, email them to me at the email address gamescoop@ign.com. Thank you, Nick, for joining me in studio here today.
Thank you for having me.
Sam and Justin. Thank you for everyone working behind the scenes in our studio here in LA to make this episode possible. My name is Damon. This is IGN Gamescoop, and we're out.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.